use this. You can use this.
Okay, good morning. I just want to tell you how excited I am. We have what's called the STEP program. STEP stands for Summer Training and Equipping Program. We have it every 2 years, and the students learn a lot, and they get to practice a lot, because the greatest learning is not just in a schoolroom or in a Bible class, but the greatest learning is when you learn in the classroom, but you also get a chance to put it into action. And so today, we're going to have four STEP students putting it into action. We're going to start off with three testimonies. First will be Kushboo, and then Sunitha, and then Mercy. And then after those three testimonies, Evan will share from the Word and give us a devotional of what God has put on his heart. So I just want to encourage you that we have a whole summer of this, and take it in and let God speak to you through these dear believers. Okay, so Kushboo.
Hello, everybody. My name is Kushboo, and I will be sharing how the Lord has been working in my life in the past few years. I got saved when I was 12 years old, and there have been lots of ups and downs in my walk with God. Before graduating college, my faith was pretty solid, and I could easily say that I trusted Jesus and that God is good. That was because I had not gone through much suffering in my life, and my faith had not really been tested. I remember my roommate in college saying that she had gone through a crisis of faith, and she had had many questions and doubts during that time. And I found that interesting because she was a missionary kid, and it's not something that I could relate with at that point. I can now say that that is not the case. After graduating college in the summer of 2024, I went through a period of time when I felt a tidal wave of emotions. After that happened, I went sort of numb. Along with feeling numb, I was not feeling the presence of God as I usually do. Since I am a pretty sensitive person and feel emotions deeply, it was odd for me to not really be feeling anything at all. I, at that time and after, I realized how much I rely on a feeling to know that God is with me. Another thing that I have struggled with in my life is generally feeling unseen by people. There are a few or very few people that I would say truly get me or understand me. And they are the ones that I have shared some of my deepest thoughts with and been comfortable being vulnerable with. I find that I can discuss harder or deeper topics when it is related to others, but when it's about myself, I tend to keep things like that private. When I am struggling or sad, I tend to isolate myself. Only the four walls of my bedroom, me, and God know all of the tears that I have cried. Through these past couple of years of sadness and pain, I have known God as never before. He has been my source of comfort. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. He has shown me that he is there even when I don't feel his presence, and he speaks through his word, hymns, and other people. Even though it still feels that I am walking through the wilderness, I am reminded that God did not abandon his people, not even in the wilderness. In Jeremiah 31, it says, "The people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness." And in Hosea, it says, "Therefore, behold, I will allure her, will bring her into the wilderness and speak comfort to her." Through this breaking, I've been led to God to bring him all my sorrow and burdens, knowing that he will help me carry them. I have also been extremely blessed by prayers that people have prayed for me. If you have prayed for me at all in the past couple of years, those prayers have truly sustained me, and there are no words to describe how grateful I am. I have learned that it is okay to ask for help and lean on others, and that is what the body of Christ is for. We are called to bear each other's burdens. As I think over the past couple of years, it has been some of the hardest times in my life, but I have learned some valuable lessons through this time, and I'm grateful. The Lord chastens those he loves. Although at times I feel unseen by people, I know that I am always seen by the Lord. In John chapter 1, when Jesus calls Nathanael, he says, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." I don't know what Nathanael was going through at that time when he was under the fig tree, but Jesus reminded him that he was there and he saw him. And this has been a great comfort for me. God has shown me that he still sees me, even in the small things. His word and his promises have been something that I have been able to cling to during this time. I pray that this summer and step continues to draw me closer to the Lord. One of my favorite hymns says, "I have a maker, he formed my heart. Before even time began, my life was in his hand. He knows my name, he knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and hears me when I call. I have a father, he calls me his own. He'll never leave me no matter where I go." God uses even suffering and trials to draw us closer to him. We can know him and learn to trust him. I do not know what the future holds for me, but I hope that I can always go back to the Rock of Ages. My faith is being tested currently, and I can say that God is good, even if my circumstances are not. There have been obstacles I could not have seen as I try to figure out career aspirations and other big, important life decisions. This year has been pretty heavy and difficult for my family, and I myself have been going through stressful and dark times. Despite all this, I can say that the Lord is carrying me, and I can trust that he has a good plan for me. I'm excited to be able to look back on this time and point to all the ways that the Lord was faithful. There is also a passage in Isaiah that has been a great comfort. "To comfort all those who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." Thank you for listening.
Good morning. My name is Sunita Aldrin, and I have been attending Hillview Bible Chapel with my family for the past 22 years. I would like to convey my gratitude to Jesus and to Hillview for the opportunity to participate in STEP at this age. If you're wondering why an older woman has enrolled in STEP when 99% of the students are less than half my age, here's why. I'm at a point in my life where my spiritual goals speak more loudly than ever before. As my physical body is slowing down, the Lord has laid a burden on my heart regarding the Great Commission and to know him more and make him known and learn how to be a more effective disciple for the Lord wherever he places me. I want to share with you all today how the Lord saved me and how I entered into a personal relationship with him and how his word guided me, especially regarding my marriage. I was born in a Christian family that was nominal. I was a nominal Christian, and I was the youngest of four children. My parents and siblings were doctors, but I chose to be an engineer. I didn't know why, but as I look back, God did have a plan. For my graduate studies, I moved to a different city, Chennai. This was a difficult move as it was the first time I was alone by myself in the dorm. I was very homesick and I missed my family a lot. But the Lord blessed me with the most loving and caring friends who were believers. It was here that I met my friend Santosh Shivani, who was always joyful, always smiling, and reflected Christ-like love in a very practical way. She was always ready to help anyone, no matter the time of the day, even before a final. For example, on a rainy day when the streets were muddy, she picked up a leprous beggar from the street in her arms and paid a driver to take him to the Sisters of Charity home run by Mother Teresa. I was completely amazed by her selfless attitude and how different she was from the rest. She bought food for beggars on the streets and told them about Jesus. She was the one who invited me to the girls' Bible study in the dorm. The study was run by Evangelical Union, which is similar to Saltworks, where I learned when I heard the gospel for the first time. When we started studying the book of John, chapter 1, verse 29, that says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." I did not understand what that meant. So I asked the teacher. She connected the dots of the Old Testament with Jesus' perfect sacrifice on the cross to redeem me, a sinner destined for death. Prior to that, I thought they were just disconnected Bible stories. It was in this study, by God's grace, he made me understand why he was called the Lamb of God and why the Son of God came to the earth to die, to be the substitute in my place, to take away my sin. As it says in Titus 3:5, he saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. I had accepted the Lord as my personal savior at the dorm, and for the first time, the Bible was the living word to me. It was so real, and it still is, and each day he was talking to me directly through his word. Each day's portion was apt for that day, guiding and helping me to grow as his child. I got baptized years later in San Jose after being convicted by Acts 2:38, "Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ." Bindu Chechi, the sister from EU, who taught Bible study at the hostel, she also encouraged us girls that praying for our future husbands was very important. So Santosha and myself once discussed this, and she asked me what I looked for in a husband. I told her jokingly that he should be, one, a born-again believer, two, 6 feet tall, three, a computer engineer. She said she will pray for me, and I started praying too. So Mumbai was where the Lord blessed me with my first job. It was like the New York of India. It was very crowded, and life was completely different from the sheltered campus life at Chennai, and I wanted to leave and move to Bangalore because my mom was working there. But my mom reminded me to pray for his will and to bloom where I was planted. Even though it was tough in Mumbai with the tough situations at work and living in a crowded one-bedroom apartment that I was sharing with four other girls. At Mumbai, the Lord led me to YFC, or Youth for Christ Bible Study, being held in my apartment complex. It was held at Uncle David's home, and it was such a blessed time to learn his word and apply the truths in my life. The Davids invited me to their church, Open Bible Fellowship, and even introduced me as their own daughter there, which was very encouraging to me. I finally started to like working in a big city and adjusted. But then, as Deuteronomy 32:11 says, like an eagle that stirs up the nest and hovers over its young, that spreads its wings to catch them and carries them aloft, the Lord did stir up my nest. Regarding marriage, I had still been praying, and the verse that the Lord spoke to me was Ecclesiastes 3:11. In his time, he makes all things beautiful. The Lord brought a proposal to my parents, but being the youngest of four, with only one older sister married by then, I initially said no. In India, the oldest always gets married first. But Mrs. David reminded me that I should pray and trust in his timing and counsel that she too got married before her older sister. And out of obedience to my father and the Lord, I had said yes. It was a step in faith, as we had never met in person, but we had emailed each other and talked over the phone 2 times. That day was a Sunday, and when we were entering the church, I could see the congregation standing and singing the hymn, "In His Time, He Makes All Things Beautiful." It was then that I was blessed with peace regarding the decision of marrying this complete stranger whom I had never met. It was an exact answer to prayer. Sam Aldrin, with whom my wedding was arranged by my parents, was a born-again believer, exactly 6 feet tall, and a computer engineer. The Lord continues to teach me and mold me after my wedding, and we celebrated 25 years of marriage this year, praising God for his continued faithfulness in our lives. Also, one of Sam's criteria was that his wife should not be a doctor. So in spite of seeing his hand in so many areas of my life so clearly, I was initially hit hard with disappointment and depression in the first couple of years, with no kids and no job, especially as our family would keep on asking us about these things. Having a job and children were of high importance in the family back in India. I was starting to believe in Satan's lies that I wasn't worthy enough and I was not good for anything. But the Lord graciously brought me out of that pit, again by his love and his promises in his word. I had experienced his fatherly love through the verse Isaiah 43:2b, which says, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine." I was overwhelmed by his love, that he loved me so much and knew my name, and he even knew the number of hairs on my head, as Luke 12:7 says. He made me realize his unconditional love towards me. I had prayed to my father to open my womb, and he did the next month, praise the Lord. He blessed us with two precious gifts from above, Anna and Shireen. And as 3 John verse 4 says, "I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth." Over these 27 years as a believer, I have experienced the love of God through the highs and lows by his promises in the living word. He keeps reassuring me that whatever happens, it is for my good, and he is sovereign, and in his control, and is in control of both the big and little things of my life. As it says in Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. He has also blessed me with godly friends and godly sisters and brothers who are now closer than my own family, who help, encourage, and correct me in my walk with the Lord. Through all the trials of life, he is still working in me and through me, at home, church, work, to make me who he wants me to be. After the Lord saved me, I have found joy, peace, and blessings from him and continue to taste his goodness as my loving father. Can I leave you with this verse? "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Romans 15:13. Praise the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Mercy Ricketts Chandaka. I'm married to Venu Chandaka, and I have been attending Hillview since February 2024. I was born and raised in a Christian family in the southern part of India. I accepted the Lord in my early childhood through Sunday school. Although I grew up in a Christian family, had a good church fellowship, and knew many Bible truths, my relationship with God was mostly head knowledge and has not truly shaped my life. During my teenage years, the Lord drew me closer to himself through a college campus ministry called Evangelical Union. Although I had accepted Christ in my childhood, it was at an evangelical camp on August 9, 2014, I truly realized I was saved. That day I got the assurance. Soon afterwards, I drifted away from the Lord because of worldly distractions. But in his grace, God convicted me through his word during a camp in 2015. I realized my need to return to him, and I repented and came back to the Lord, trusting his promise in 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. From that time, my relationship with the Lord began to grow stronger. During my master's, God gave me opportunity to serve him through the Evangelical Union Ministries among college students, and I truly enjoyed serving there. Towards the end of my master's, when the possibility of marriage came, I was hesitant because I did not want to leave the ministry there. As I prayed and sought out God's will, he spoke me through Exodus 33:19, and he said, I myself will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious and will show compassion to whom I will show compassion. This verse gave me peace and confirmed God's plan in my life. One of my concerns about moving to United States was leaving behind the fellowship which I had in India. But God has been faithful. He has provided wonderful fellowship through Hillview, and I am truly enjoying being part of Hillview family. I am also thankful for the opportunity to be part of STEP. I used to pray for a life partner who is saved and who fears God. I am truly blessed with Venu, and I thank God for him in my life. When I spoke to Venu for the first time, he asked me two questions. And through those questions, I understood that he was a good believer. Later, after joining STEP, I realized that those two questions were actually the Kennedy questions from the gospel outline. After Shiloh was born, I had to visit the ER a couple of times due to postpartum preeclampsia. By God's grace, I was able to reach the hospital in time, and I experienced his protection, peace, and comfort during that season. He strengthened me through Psalm 46:1, remembering me that God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. During one of my quiet time, I read 2 Chronicles, 22nd chapter, 1 to 3 verses, and was struck by the life of Athaliah. Although she was a queen and a mother, she used her influence to lead her son away from God and encouraged him to do evil in the sight of the Lord. Reading about her made me reflect on the kind of influence I could have as a mother. After that, I also studied the life of Hannah, whose example encouraged me deeply. Hannah trusted God with her son and desired for him to follow the Lord. These two contrasting examples, I was reminded that God gives both positive and negative examples in scriptures to teach us how to depend fully on him. When I read this passage, I was reminded of a message I heard before, that motherhood is a mission field for a woman. We do not need to go somewhere else to serve the Lord. We can start right in our own home by raising our children in the Lord. As I reflected on this, I felt God's challenging me about how I'm going to raise Shiloh in today's world. It encouraged me to depend on him daily and seek his wisdom as I raise him to know and love God. A few months after coming to the United States, I had joined Step 1 without really knowing what to expect. By God's grace, he helped me complete it and understood that the time to help me grow closer to him. Understanding his word more deeply and applying it to my daily life. Step 1 also helped me improve my communication skills and gave me more confidence to speak in English. I'm also thankful for God how he used Step 1 to strengthen my faith and prepare me for the next step. When I first considered joining Step 2, I was hesitant and kept finding reasons to postpone it, with Shiloh to take care of her and my parents are visiting and plans to travel to India. I felt it was not the right time. As I prayed about it, during my quiet time, the Lord spoke me through Ezra 7:10. For Ezra had firmly resolved to study the law of the Lord and to practice it and to teach his statutes and ordinance in Israel. And Venu also encouraged me to take the step. Through God's guidance and encouragement, I decided to join Step 2, and I continued to ask the Lord to help me remain faithful and complete this. Throughout my life, God had taught me that his ways are always better than my own. As I continued the journey, My desire is to trust in the Lord with all my heart and follow his leading, knowing that he will direct my path. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies, for giving me a couple extra minutes for my devotion. And just for providing examples of the Lord's hope and loving kindness in people's lives. And actually, in today's passage, we're going to be looking at another testimony. Could you open your Bibles to Psalms 23? And just while you're turning the pages to Psalms 23, I want to ask you, where do you go when you are in distress? I like to think that a lot of people, when they're in the stress, they have like a specific person in mind to kind of like relieve themselves of the stress that they're feeling, either a family member or a friend. If you're a kid, I think that you go to your parents in the hopes that the parent or the authority figure will be able to just relieve or remove the stress in their lives. I think a lot of people these days, though, have a tendency to avoid the stress and just put themselves in entertainment and media just to avoid what's plaguing them. For me, though, I like to just take on the stress. I usually just drop everything to solve the problem because I don't want it anymore. But in today's Psalms, we're going to see where David goes when he's distressed. If you don't know, this is Psalms 23 is written by David, and he's written most of the Psalms within the book of Psalm. He was once the king of Israel. But an important fact that I want you to know is that he at one point used to be a shepherd. And this experience is going to help paint us this picture in this psalm of the Lord being our shepherd, but a shepherd of provision, guidance, and comfort. Let's go ahead and read Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Just going back to that first verse, the Lord is my shepherd. David is setting the theme for the rest of this psalm, that the Lord is his shepherd and that he is his sheep. The Bible uses this metaphorical relationship in other places. Christ calls himself the good shepherd in John 10:11, and those who have faith in him are his sheep in John 10:27-28. A shepherd is dedicated to his sheep. He's responsible for their well-being and their source of food. In fact, a shepherd will stay watch at night to protect his sheep from wolves. And David will be using his previous experience as a shepherd to paint the picture of the Lord's loving kindness for the rest of this psalm. Now, what does a shepherd provide for his sheep? If you look verse 2, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. You look at that beginning phrase, he makes me lie down in green pastures. It kind of sounds like the shepherd's trying to force his sheep to lay down in the green pastures. And I don't know about you, but when someone tells me to just be calm, and when I'm already panicking, it just adds more stress to my life. But if we look at the verse closely, he makes me lie down in green pastures, a place of calmness. He leads me beside quiet waters, a place of stillness. And then just adding a little bit at the beginning of verse 3, he restores my soul. A sheep needs food and water to survive, and the shepherd will guide his sheep to that source of provision for them. I think David here is actually saying that the Lord wants to give us all the provision that we need, that we can just relax, that we can just be still in his presence. I'm a software engineer, and sadly I've been affected by all the layoffs that have been happening throughout the couple of years. And all I hear in the news is AI is taking jobs, AI is replacing jobs, and the stock market is just going crazy, and the job market's going crazy. And all that's on my mind is, how am I going to get a job in this time? And just the anxiety and just bearing the weight of trying to find income, it just weighs heavy on me. But in the Lord's provision, he has provided me interview after interview, just weekly interviews. And it's kind of surprising, because you think with all the news that's happening, you think I wouldn't be able to get an interview. But the Lord in his goodness has provided me those things, showing me that he is looking out for me. And I want to ask you, what weighs heavy on your mind? Jesus says in John 10:26, look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they are? And who are you, being worried, can add a single hour to his life? Now, the Lord doesn't want us to worry, but then what are we supposed to do then if we don't if he doesn't want us to worry? 1 Peter 5:6-7, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. The good shepherd doesn't want you to worry, but just to come to him and lean on his gentleness and let him provide. Now, how do I remain in this shepherd's provision? Well, for a sheep to attain the shepherd's provision, they must follow the shepherd. Continuing on in verses 3 and 4, he restores my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I think there are two ways to be guided in life. There is being guided into something positive or good, like wisdom, and then you can be guided out of something, like out of danger. And just looking at this first, verse 3, he guides me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. A good shepherd will lead his sheep on the right path and lead them out of danger. This reminds me of Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. The Lord is our guide in life. It is the Lord's nature to bestow righteous wisdom on his sheep. And it's just part of his name. It's just who he is. Just looking at that last part, for his name's sake, it is his nature just to give us righteous wisdom. And then looking at the other side, the negative experience. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. This is an example of the shepherd just leading his sheep out of danger. And I like to imagine, when I'm reading this verse, that there's a sheep walking through a dark valley that's just quiet as the grave, with a looming darkness adding a sense of dread and unknown to the environment. But then you have the shepherd just leading them through this danger. And I think life can be like that sometimes, just full of unknowns and unexpected surprises. But when you are with the Lord, we can find his guidance assuring. When I got laid off in March, just the weight of preparing for interviews and just dealing with the discouragement of rejection letters just weighed heavy on my mind. And I just had to stop and ask myself, where am I going to find my guidance during this unknown time? And where are you going to find your guidance when you are in distress? I'd like to, I'm going looking at an example of in David's life, David was once a military commander, and in First Samuel 23:1-5, an enemy was attacking a city called Keilah. Now, instead of David just taking his army and jumping to save Keilah, he asked the Lord immediately whether they should save this city, just seeking his guidance on what to do. And the Lord gave him a yes. He should do it. But then his army started to tremble and fear. And David just immediately again just prayed, asking, "Will you give us victory?" And the Lord said yes. Just Proverbs 16:9, "The mind of a man plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps." When facing tough decisions and you are in distress, one of the best things to do is just to immediately pray to the Lord and ask what the next steps are. Now, we've seen the shepherd provide for his sheep, and he guides them to safety, but what is the shepherd's ultimate responsibility for his sheep? We've seen him give provision and guidance, and a good shepherd will make his sheep comfortable. Going on to verse 5, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows." This verse is David's experiencing the full care and comfort from the Lord. He doesn't have to worry about his enemies while in the presence of the Lord. Now, I don't have any enemies, not that I know of, but I see this passage as just the pressures of the world and responsibilities that I have to take on. It could be economic uncertainty, political division, living expenses, rent, medical bills. But the Lord knows these things. He knows our enemies. He knows what stresses us. And in his grace will provide a way of comfort through his provision and guidance. I look at the middle of that verse, verse 5, "You have anointed my head with oil, my cup overflows." Shepherds back then in biblical times would use oil and herbs to soothe and heal the wounds of a lamb. And this is just David reinforcing the idea that the good shepherd, the Lord, is his shepherd and wants comfort for his sheep. He hasn't forgotten our miseries and has a generous plan for us to heal. Verse 6, but reflecting on these verses 1 through 5, David writes this psalm with confidence. Like he knows the Lord is his source of provision, guidance, and comfort. And I have to ask myself, do some self-reflection, is do I believe these things? Do I have the same faith as David does? And if not, where can I get this faith? And Jesus says in Luke 11:11-13, "Now I suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he is asked for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" I think God just wants us to ask him. Just pray for faith. He wants us to ask him and ask him to reveal himself so that we may experience his goodness and loving kindness. Going down to verse 6, surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David ends this psalm with, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." One day we'll get to experience that, being in the house of the Lord. When we meet him in heaven, we will get to experience the fullness of the Lord in the presence. But for now, we will get to experience that here on earth. And I encourage you to memorize this psalm and let the Spirit bring it up in your life when you are in distress. And just let the shepherd give his provision, guidance, and comfort in your times of distress. Let's pray. Dear Lord, just thank you for this time, Lord, to where we just be in fellowship and just hear testimonies about you, Lord, how you've guided these ladies in their lives, Lord, to be able to show them, just let you be able to show them your goodness and loving kindness, Lord. And as David says, Lord, you are our shepherd. And just thank you for being our good shepherd and willing to care for us, Lord. Lord, as we leave here now, I just ask that all of us would just remember that you are a loving God who wants what's just best for us. In Jesus' name, amen.